Luke chapter 5, verse 1-11. Jesus calls the first disciples, and the Bible reads as follows. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. May the good Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word. Amen. We are going to be focusing in verse 8 and in verse 10. Verse 8 and verse 10 are going to be our focus verses this morning. Simon Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." We usually become afraid for various reasons. Just like this morning, when you're surprised with something, you know, something pumps into your body and you become afraid of something. But it's very possible we usually become afraid also when we know something about somebody, when you realize the status of somebody, that this person I'm talking to, actually he is an important person in the community, or he's a president or a king or something like that, we become afraid. You can also become afraid when you are called into a new position, given new responsibilities. That is something new. The question you ask is, "I've never done this before, and how do I do it?" And so you become afraid. Peter became afraid when he realized who Jesus is. In verse 5 and verse 8, we see something in the life of Peter. In verse 5, he addresses Jesus as Master. In verse 8, he addresses Jesus as Lord. We're going to look into that further. But he also became afraid when he was called and given a new responsibility, from catching fish, now to becoming a fisher of men. We know that at about 30 years, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and he began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Now, at the beginning of the earthly ministry, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus began to call his disciples. And later on, he is going to train them, and once they are fully trained, he is going to command them to go out and disciple others. People like John, James, Andrew, who were fishers of men. At his command, they will become fishers of men and not fishers of fish anymore. And so we're going to be looking at the theme this morning. Jesus calls and he trains us how to be fishers of people. Jesus calls and he trains us how to be fishers of people. And to begin with, we're going to look at this passage in a very practical way. We're going to look at the indicative, the imperative, and the exhortation of the future. The indicative, what is revealed in this text about Jesus, or about God. Who is Jesus? And after looking at who Jesus is, what is he commanding us? What is the exhortation, thirdly? To begin with, the indicative, the status of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus revealed to be? Jesus is revealed to be curious, according to verse 8. Now, this word curious is actually a contrast of doulos. Curious could be used in general sense to express respect, equivalent to what we say, master or sir. But it can also refer to the divinity or to the divine deity with emphasis to his authority, to the authority of God, to the authority of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, Peter addressed Jesus as apistata. Now, I'm using those words on purpose because they're going to help us to differentiate verse 5 and verse 8. In verse 5, Peter says to Jesus, Master. In verse 8, he says to him, Lord. But the same word, Master, we can also translate the word curious with Master. But there is a unique word used in verse 5, which is apistata. It is also in reference to Master. And then he says there, Master. That's how Jesus is addressing, that's how Peter is addressing Jesus. He says, Master. But in verse 8, a different word is used there. So clearly the text reveals that Peter had a changed understanding of who Jesus is. From the Greek grammar, we know that apistata, master or chief commander, that word is hardly used in reference to God, but as means of respect, like the word we use, sir. But curious in verse 8, yes, it can be used as just a master, a sir, expressing respect to somebody, but in a special sense, it is also revealed to express the divinity of Jesus, or it's in reference to God. So the question that we have here is Peter simply respecting Jesus in verse 8 when he says, Lord? Or is he saying Jesus is God? In verse 8, according to the context, when Jesus is addressed to as Lord, it is actually revealed that he is not just a mere person or a mere sir or a master or a mere commander, but that he is God. And so Peter there says, depart from me. Why? For or because I am a sinful man, O Lord. And the word used there is curious. The context in verse 8, it makes it very clear that Peter is referring to Jesus' divinity. Jesus is not a mere human being. To say that Jesus is Lord, which is to say he is divine. Peter here is admitting that Jesus is holy. Peter is saying, I am sinful, but you are not sinful. Depart from me, O Lord. Peter is admitting here that Jesus is creator. He created man, the universe, and everything. And by so doing, Peter is actually admitting to the authority of Jesus. Jesus has authority. He commands. And even nature listens. Fish also listens. They didn't catch anything the whole night long, But at the command of Jesus, the Bible says, they caught so much fish, such that the nets started to break. The boat almost began to sink. There was so much fish. So right from the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, Peter confesses that Jesus is Lord. And later on, Peter would again confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this is not because Peter is very genius, very intelligent, human brilliance. No, it's not about that. But it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 17, this was given to Peter by the power of the Spirit. Now, since Jesus is Lord, according to verse 8, the Son of God, we can be sure that in verse 8, Peter means that Jesus is God. Now, it sounds very simplistic, but there are lots of people who don't believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is the owner of creation and in full control of nature and in full control of our lives. We can ask a question right there. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you and me? A prophet? Like Elijah, Jeremiah? A hero? Is it just some hero who lived some years ago? Like Shaka the Zulu? Like Nelson Mandela? Just some hero who lived somewhere? No. Jesus is God. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of His power. Also in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 to 20, the Bible says, For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He is God. And so in His divine knowledge, it pleased God to reveal to Peter that Jesus was not a mere human being. Indeed, Jesus is God with absolute authority to teach, to provide to us abundantly according to His will. Now, having known who this Jesus is, let us look at what He commands. What does He command us? What does He say? What is the imperative in this text? What does Jesus command of us now that we know who He is? We see from our text that at one night, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they caught barely anything. And so they started mending and cleaning their nets. But when Jesus had finished teaching those who were present, He commanded Peter to set the nets for a catch. Now, after teaching them, Jesus wants to demonstrate His authority. The fact that He is God, He can command, even nature can listen. He wants to demonstrate it practically to them. He's speaking to fishermen. In verse 5, Peter was hesitant to set the nets again, but he had to obey the word of his master. The master is saying, so I'll do it. He's the commander. He has said it. We're going to do it. We are told that they caught so much fish at the command of Jesus that their nets began to break. And they signaled friends on a distance, say, come and help us. There's just so much fish in this boat. And so they tried to take this fish into another boat. Both boats became so full such that they're almost sinking, the Bible says. Obviously, such a spectacle would astonish us. But Jesus said to Peter, do not be afraid. Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Because Jesus is Lord, with absolute authority, He is able to redirect anyone's career to what He wants it to be. These men were fishermen. He changed Peter, Andrew, James, and John from fishers or fish, if I can put it that like that, to fishers of men. These men were catching fish, but Jesus says, from now onwards, we're going to be catching people. Later, when Jesus has trained his disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." That's a command. I called you, I have taught you, now I'm commanding you to go and make disciples of all nations. And that is in a command. It's an imperative. Matthew tells us it's an imperative. It's a command. I know some people, they want to just be in church and listen from the pastor preaching, and it ends there. They close their Bibles, they go home. But after you've learned, go and make others disciples. Indeed, Jesus is God with absolute power to call, and after he has trained us, he commands us to be fishers of men. Following Jesus, it can't be divorced from learning from him. When we begin to follow Jesus, obviously we begin to learn from him. He instructs us. He has revealed to us who he is. He is God with absolute authority, and so he also has authority to command us. And we must obey, because his authority is unquestionable. It's the supreme authority. You can't appeal anywhere else. He commands and we listen. Alcamp preached last time. He says, we learn from him. When he jumps, we also jump. And you don't ask, but why do you want me to jump? When he says, go and disciple others, we don't ask, but why are you sending me to go and disciple others? He has taught us. He has trained us. Unless you question his authority. My dear brothers and sisters, are you following and learning from your Lord? Even today, he is calling us to follow and to learn from him. He has unquestionable authority. And so he speaks through his word. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he commands us to go and disciple others. Scripture has absolute authority, for it has its source in God. Men did not write their own wisdom. It was not human brilliance, but they wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Scripture is made clear for us to understand and to live in fear of God. Even today, Jesus is still calling us and preparing us for ministry. But perhaps you say, I don't know how to catch people. I don't know how to do it. And so most people are charged in the churches. Even here at Mkanyo, we charge you to go and disciple others. Sometimes you feel, but how do I do this? I don't feel equipped enough. I don't know how to do this. My dear brother and sister, the one who called you is faithful. He ensures to bring to completion what he began in you. Hence he says, do not be afraid. I'm going to train you. Jesus promises to train those he has called into ministry. He doesn't just call us and leave us like that. No, he also trains us. Jesus did not just call the 12 disciples and leave them like that. No, he first trained them for a period of not less than three years. And after that, he then commanded them to go and make disciples. And so last thing that we're looking at there is the promise which Jesus makes. It is very clear from our two verses. Jesus says to Peter, from now on, you will be catching men. You'll be catching people. Peter, Andrew, James, and John understood the word catching. This word from the Greek, again, I keep on getting there because it's my comfort zone. I try to understand words literally. Okay? Zoogruon. This word has something to do with catching something alive. You don't catch dead things. No. It has an idea of catching something which is alive, capturing something. This is exactly what a fisherman does. When you cast your net, you catch fish. Fish is alive. A fisherman captures live fish. For these four men, capturing fish was their field of speciality. It was not a problem. They knew it very well. That was their career. Every time they were catching fish. Day after day, they set their nets in search for fish. If they caught some, they cleaned the fish and they had to sell it. They were not stranded men in life. They had a career. But the Lord has authority. He redirected their career. Now they will be specialized in catching people. The two are completely different callings. How will this be possible? I used to catch fish. That is what I know. I know how to do it. Now my Lord, my Master says you'll be catching people. How do I do it? But he has authorities commanding it. He has authorities redirecting their career. Now they will be specialized in catching people. And the one who is calling them, he also knows how that will be made possible, because he's going to train them. The Lord knows. He calls and he equips. He will also make them to be fishers of people. Now, when we turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, and also Mark 1, verse 17, there we see the word that is used. Jesus is saying, I will make you. Because remember, we're reading from Luke, that is a synoptic gospel. So we also try to look at what is Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17 saying regarding this calling and the sending. He is going to train them. And then he says, I will make you. You do not know how to do it by yourselves. I have called you, but don't worry, don't be afraid. I will make you. They need not be afraid. Jesus promises to equip them how to fish people. After Jesus had chosen the 12 disciples, he will also train them. He went around teaching and preaching for not less than 3 years. Jesus did not just call the 12 and send them out without training them, but first he trained them. Now, right there, we have a lot of people today who will tell you, I feel called, but they don't want to study the Word of God. They do not want to endure the 4 years of training. For others, the 8 years of training. For others, the 9 years of training. I believe God has called me and I depend upon the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me about the training. They claim titles and yet there is no substance. You know, I'm a bishop, I'm a pastor. We know those titles. They tell you I've been called, but not trained. And so with those titles, they can't deliver. They are not able to teach the Word of God as it really is. They speak and promise things God does not promise. They read from one passage of Scripture and preach from another. Not trained. Ultimately, they have brought shame upon those he has called and those he had trained and sent out. Because the general public is confused. All these men stand before us in the name of pastors. But when we hear what they are preaching, it has brought shame upon the name of God. They command people to do things God does not command them. People have eaten grass. People have eaten snakes. And we've heard these things. We hear them and we see them on TV. Who are commanding these things? Pastors. You wake up one day, you call yourself a pastor, and you start preaching. Not trained. They jump on people literally. He's a pastor. And people are there lying down, and he's jumping on them in the name of deliverance. He's casting out demons. I mean, we see these things on TV. People claiming to be called, but not trained. And so I think the antidote, and according to scripture, the antidote to all such confusion is not just a training, but a biblical training. There are lots of teachers around, but only those trained by Jesus would make true apostles and the authority to go out and to teach others. Of course, there are lots of teachers, even during the time of Jesus Christ, but only those trained by Jesus have authority and would make true apostles. And finally, we're looking at how do you respond to the calling of Jesus? How do you respond to the calling of the Lord, the one who calls you? In verse 11, we are told that the fishermen left everything and followed Jesus. That's how they responded. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 20 and 22, because we're reading from the Synoptic Gospels, we can also look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. That's how they responded. Immediately, they left everything they were doing. Like I said, these men were not stranded in life. They had a career. Now, the reason why I'm putting it that way, because usually people, we think of theology as, let me first try this. It didn't work, and I try this. It doesn't work, and I try this. It doesn't work. Finally, ish, let me just think to study theology. That is a shame. It must be a calling. God first has to call you. Not because you are a nobody in life, not because you are stranded, but he calls you and he trains you. He equips you for ministry and he sends you out. Not because you had nothing to do. Not because you tried all these other things and they failed and theology was the last option for you. No. It must be a calling. And him who calls you, trains you, and he sends you. And how do you respond? With urgency. For the Bible says immediately they left what they were doing, followed Jesus. These men had something to do. But then they, upon being commanded by Jesus, him who has authority, him who is God, they left everything and followed Jesus. How do you respond to the calling of Jesus? Because then, even today, he's calling us. And he wants to train us. And I think it's the more reason why some of us are still here, still studying theology, because we feel and we are convicted by the power of the Spirit that God has called us. Not because we tried something and it didn't work, but he has called you. And so, as you are here, you want to study, you want to be trained so you can be sent out. In your studies, how do you study? Today you come to class, tomorrow you don't come. This week you come, next week you don't come. Honestly, if God has called you, I don't think that is how you respond to the calling. I don't think that's how you respond to the calling. But if you believe this is God who has called me, then I have to be faithful in my studies because he's busy training me. This is not just man training me. God is training me through these years I'm at Mukani. And so I feel so touched to see some students, for instance, who would come this week. Next week he doesn't come. He comes, he missed a test, and he wants a lecturer to go back and to give him a second opportunity to write a test. Where is the seriousness? As a student, knowing that you have been called by God and that he is busy training you. And having said that, the same thing we feel as lecturers, I think, on my side, I feel, but I have to be prepared for my students. Because God has put me in this position to train them. And I need to be prepared. I need to do my part to ensure that I give you what you need. And I need to realize, but a student is not there. He doesn't write a test. After 2 weeks, he wants to come to you and say, but please give me the test. I want to write it again. And so progression gets backwards. You have to work in a reverse order. Brothers and sisters, this comes to encourage us that we have to understand why we are here. If God has called us, and if God is busy training us, we are going to respond to this calling with urgency. We are going to take this training seriously. From the side of students, but also from the side of lecturers. We'll take it seriously in our preparation, in how we deliver, in how we do it. We are going to take it seriously. Because then we believe God has given us this task, and we are going to do it properly as he commands us, the scriptures. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we want to continue giving you all the glory and praise. We want to thank you for placing us in a position where we can learn your word and teach your word. We thank you that your spirit has made this clear to us, that you who is God calls us and promises to train us. And so there is no need for us to tremble, to be afraid, for we are going to be trained by God himself. Through your word, Lord Almighty, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you make your word understandable to us and you charge us to go and make others disciples. It's our prayer that we may be serious with what we are doing here. It's our prayer that you may convict us by the power of your Spirit to bring about that seriousness in our studying. That Lord Almighty will also be able to apply this word to our lives, that we may be changed, that our character may be conformed to that of Christ. That Lord Almighty, we may not just learn these things, but also apply them to our lives so that many others may see Christ forming in us, may be drawn to him, and so they may glorify you. These things we pray not because we demand them, but to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.